Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, that Netflix ad tier seems to be paying off, but it's also the end of the road for those famous red envelopes. We're about to see a foldable Pixel phone, more layoffs from Meta, more links in bio for Instagram, and forget data being the new oil. What if data was the new fertile farmland to be rented out to LLMs for harvesting? Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. Netflix kicked off tech earnings season by revealing revenue was up 4% year-over-year to $8.16 billion, but only 1.8 million in paid net subscriber additions versus the 2.06 million that was expected. Although global streaming paid memberships were up 5% year-over-year to 232.5 million. But remember, Netflix makes more average revenue per user in North America than in other markets, so kind of a flat quarter for them all in all. But also why it was interesting that, based on the numbers they shared, it looks like Netflix is making slightly more ARPU from users on its ad-supported tier than it does on its ad-free tier. Remember, the ad-supported tier costs $6.99 per month, and you still get the ads that they can sell to you. But if you run the numbers, the ad tier seems to be producing more ARPU than the $15.49 per month that Netflix charges for that, you know, base level tier. Quoting Rihard Jark on Twitter, not that long ago, Netflix was an endless cash-burning business. Today, they reported $2.1 billion in free cash flow in Q1. With the crackdown on password sharing, ad tier maturing, and AI helping reduce costs of content production, the business might become a cash printer, end quote. To that end, news that Netflix has upgraded its ad-supported plan's video quality from 720p to 1080p and is now letting subscribers to the ad feed watch two streams at once, starting with Canada and Spain. So they're bringing the ad tier more up to parity with the ad-free tier. Also, it's the end of an era. Netflix announced plans to ship its last red DVD envelope by mail in September 2023, after 25 years of mailing shows and movies to subscribers and paving the way for streaming, quoting the Wall Street Journal. Netflix built its business on dispatching DVDs, and for years, the company's streaming platform was more of a side business. But as the company pushed further into original programming and built a bigger streaming library, a growing subset of its subscribers opted to watch content that way rather than order discs to their mailboxes. House of Cards, which was released in 2013 and became Netflix's first original program. That's not true, right? There was that one with the guy from The Sopranos in some sort of Scandinavian country. Anyway, wasn't initially available on DVD. Netflix said it shipped more than 5.2 billion discs over the life of the business. The first red envelope the company mailed in March 1998 contained Beetlejuice. And the most popular DVD rented by mail was The Blind Side, a 2009 sports drama featuring Sandra Bullock. Mailed DVDs, quote, paved the way for the shift to streaming, Mr. Sarandos said in a blog post announcing the change. Our goal has always been to provide the best service for our members, but as the business continues to shrink, that's going to become increasingly difficult, end quote. The company plans to wind down its DVD.com website later this year, end quote. As recently as 2013, Netflix still made more than $900 million a year from mailing you DVDs. Last year, that was barely $150 million. As Lucia Moses tweeted, quote, hard to believe, but once upon a time, you had to decide Wednesday what movie you were going to watch on Friday, kids, end quote. But Michael Avolio tweeted what occurred to me as well, quote, awful news for movie lovers in the U.S. Netflix's mail service is shutting down in September. Their selection is broader than any streaming service. This is a huge blow to those of us who like a wide variety of films. Countless films will be harder to see, end quote. Yeah, countdown to when Hollywood stops producing physical media entirely. We're going back to the bad old days of the 1980s, people, when you simply couldn't watch certain movies if they hadn't come to VHS yet. Soon, if a movie you want to see is not on a specific streamer, it kind of won't exist. CNBC has seen docs suggesting that Google plans to unveil the long-rumored foldable Pixel phone on May 10th, offering a 7.6-inch main screen, a 5.8-inch outside screen, and Tensor G2 chip, launching in June for upwards of $1,700. Quote, Google plans to announce the device at its annual developer conference, Google I.O., on May 10th. The Pixel Fold, known internally by the codename Felix, will have, quote, the most durable hinge on a foldable phone, according to the documents. It will cost upward of $1,700 and compete with Samsung's $1,799 Galaxy Z Fold 4. Google plans to market the Pixel Fold as water-resistant and pocket-sized, with an outside screen that measures 5.8 inches across, according to the documents. Photos viewed by CNBC show that the phone will open like a book to reveal a small tablet-sized 7.6 inch screen, the same size as the display on Samsung's competitor. It weighs 10 ounces, slightly heavier than the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 4, but it has a larger battery that Google says will last for 24 hours or up to 72 hours in a low power mode. The Pixel Fold is powered by Google's Tensor G2 chip, according to the documents. That's the same processor that launched in the Pixel 7 and Pixel 7 Pro phones last year. While hardware is a small fraction of Google's revenue, the Pixel Fold is the most expensive phone in the company's Google Pixel family. Google has been working on the software, including Android and its App Store, Google Play, for third-party devices made by companies like Samsung, the current folding phone market leader. The Pixel Fold will give Google a chance to show what a fully Google-made foldable phone experience is like. Other Pixels, for example, have exclusive features that aren't available on all Android phones, like photo editing options that are powered by the Tensor processor. The launch comes amid questions about Google and Samsung's relationship. Earlier this week, Alphabet shares fell more than 3.5% Monday after a Times report said Samsung is reportedly considering changing its default search engine from Google to Microsoft's Bing for its lineup of smartphones, which drives an estimated $3 billion in annual revenue to Google, end quote. Meta has begun another round of layoffs, impacting technical teams, apparently. According to a source, Meta will possibly lay off around 4,000 people in this round out of the previously planned 10,000 number, quoting CNBC. Employees with technical backgrounds like user experience, software engineering, graphics programming, and other roles announced on LinkedIn that they had been let go by the company on Wednesday morning. A Meta spokesperson confirmed to CNBC the cuts had started. One employee impacted by the layoffs told CNBC Wednesday's layoffs also hit product-facing teams and that Meta plans to cut business-facing roles such as finance, legal, and HR beginning in May. The employee, who spoke under condition of anonymity, said Meta suggested tech teams who weren't impacted by Wednesday's cuts may also be included in layoffs next month. LinkedIn posts indicated that multiple people who worked as gameplay programmers were also affected by the layoffs. Gameplay engineers work on virtual and augmented reality products, according to a Meta job listing. I woke up this morning to the unfortunate news that I was one of the many laid off from Meta today, a Facebook business program manager wrote on LinkedIn. With ad revenue slumping last year and its stock price in free fall, Facebook's parent announced its first round of layoffs in November, affecting some 11,000 workers. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg then declared 2023 the year of efficiency and proceeded towards a plan of an additional 10,000 job cuts in March, resulting in restructuring costs of between $3 billion and $5 billion. As Zuckerberg said at the time, the new round of April layoffs targets technical workers. Zuckerberg said cuts in the business groups would take place in late May. Wall Street has applauded the downsizing. Meta shares have soared 81% this year after losing about two-thirds of their value last year. Revenue has declined for three straight quarters, and analysts are projecting another quarterly sales drop when Meta reports its first quarter earnings next week. The company's previous guidance called for sales of between $26 and $28.5 billion, which means the streak of revenue drops could end if Meta reaches the top end of the range, end quote. Let's be real for a minute. Most guys would wear a t-shirt every day of their lives if they could. The problem is that most t-shirts are not acceptable to wear at work or out on a hot date night. But today's sponsor, Cuts, has finally changed that. Cuts t-shirts are such high quality, wrinkle-free, and so buttery soft that you can look like you're dressing up even when you're dressing down. Yeah, you heard that. Wrinkle-free. You never have to substitute comfort for fashion ever again. If you see me in a t-shirt, it's likely one from Cuts. I'm also a huge fan of their AO five-pocket pants, the right sort of step-up from jeans without going all the way into dress pants, like literally my ideal Venn diagram of professional-looking but comfortable feeling. When you touch something from Cuts, you can immediately immediately feel the quality. Their proprietary fabric blends are ridiculously soft and breathable, they don't wrinkle, and they look way more expensive than they actually are. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your entire order when you use code RIDE at checkout. That's 20% off your order at cutsclothing.com with promo code RIDE. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the perfect blend of style and comfort with Cuts Clothing. Cutsclothing.com, promo code RIDE for 20% off. How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, anytime, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to 1Password.com/ride. And Mark Zuckerberg himself announced yesterday that Instagram now lets users add up to 5 links to their account bios. So, you know, Linktree, Beacons, all you other link and bio services. Y'all knew you were on borrowed time, right? Quoting TechCrunch. The company says the feature has been a top request among creators, but in reality, it's also an example of how Instagram's failure to adapt to the needs of that community has allowed alternative solutions to thrive. Linktree and others came into existence largely because of platform limitations like those on Instagram and other social networks, which had for a long time prevented users from adding multiple links to other sites in fear they would be helping to direct users to content outside their own apps. The platforms would rather keep users trapped inside Instagram or their own network rather than potentially lose users' time and engagement. Instagram wasn't alone in making this choice. TikTok today even limits clickable links in its bios to only those with business accounts, making it harder for regular users and creators to direct fans and followers to other websites. Instagram's decision to now, after all these years, finally address creator demand for increased access to links in bio may actually be due to the complaints over TikTok's stricter limitations. The company likely sees how expanded access to links could be seen as a competitive advantage, potentially luring creators back to its app. In fact, Instagram calls out that its ability to add multiple links to a profile will be available to all accounts, including business and creator accounts. To use the feature, users will tap Edit Profile, then Links, then Add External Link. They can then drag and drop the links in the order they want them to appear. In testing the feature briefly, we didn't have trouble linking to competing platforms like TikTok or YouTube, for example. In addition, below the option to add multiple links to other websites, Instagram also allows users to add a link to their Facebook profile with a dedicated linking option. This link has a more professional appearance with a rounded Facebook icon and text that reads Facebook profile. External links don't include any social customizations like small icons. Meta says users are allowed to link to any URL that abides by its community guidelines in terms of service, and links are scanned to ensure they're within those guidelines and not harmful. It does not plan to block Linktree links or those from other link and bio platforms. In fact, as Linktree pointed out in a tweet, Meta's own account is using one of its links at present, end quote. And finally today, Reddit has announced plans to start charging companies to access its API, which they're doing because many folks have been using Reddit content to train these new AI tools. The API will stay free for developers building apps for Reddit users, but basically, Reddit wants to start getting paid for helping train these large language models, quoting the New York Times. Reddit has long been a hotspot for conversation on the internet. About 57 million people visit the site every day to chat about topics as varied as makeup, video games, and pointers for power washing driveways. In recent years, Reddit's array of chats also have been a free teaching aid for companies like Google, OpenAI, and Microsoft. Those companies are using Reddit's conversations in the development of giant artificial intelligence systems that many in Silicon Valley think are on their way to becoming the tech industry's next big thing. Now Reddit wants to be paid for it. The company said on Tuesday that it planned to begin charging companies for access to its application programming interface, or API, the method through which outside entities can download and process the social network's vast selection of person-to-person conversations. The Reddit corpus of data is really valuable, Steve Huffman, founder and chief executive of Reddit, said in an interview, but we don't need to give all of that value to some of the largest companies in the world for free. The move is one of the first significant examples of a social network's charging for access to the conversations it hosts for the purpose of developing AI systems like ChatGPT, OpenAI's popular program. Those new AI systems could one day lead to big business, but they aren't likely to help companies like Reddit very much. In fact, they could be used to create competitors, automated duplicates to Reddit's conversations. Reddit is also acting as it prepares for a possible initial public offering on Wall Street this year. The company, which was founded in 2005, makes most of its money through advertising and e-commerce transactions on its platform. Reddit said it was still ironing out the details of what it would charge for API access and would announce prices in the coming weeks. The underlying algorithm that helped build Bard, Google's conversational AI service, is partly trained on Reddit data. OpenAI's ChatGPT cites Reddit data as one of the sources of information it has been trained on, too. Other companies are also beginning to see value in the conversations and images they host. Shutterstock, the image hosting service, also sold image data to OpenAI to help create DALL-E, the AI program that creates vivid graphical imagery with only a text-based prompt required. To keep improving their models, artificial intelligence makers need two significant things: an enormous amount of computing power and an enormous amount of data. Some of the biggest AI developers have plenty of computing power, but still look outside their own networks for the data needed to improve their algorithms. That has included sources like Wikipedia, millions of digitized books, academic articles, and Reddit. Reddit believes its data is particularly valuable because it is continuously updated. That newness and relevance, Mr. Huffman said, is what large language model algorithms need to produce the best results. More than any other place on the internet, Reddit is a home for authentic conversation, Mr. Huffman said. There's a lot of stuff on the site that you'd only ever say in therapy or AA or never at all, end quote. Imagine a near future where a growing new value of owning a social platform is just renting off the valuable corpus of your users' interactions, sort of like how a landowner rents out a field for farming. I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the Werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the Werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect. Have I done that one before? Anyway, talk to you tomorrow.